Welcome to the Reversing Diabetes Podcast with Delaine ND, the podcast for people looking to correct chronic illnesses such as diabetes through lifestyle change. I'm Dr. Delaine Vaughn. As a physician, I see many patients who are ill because of lifestyle decisions such as food choices. Typically, diseases such as diabetes are managed with pills or injections. This approach creates a vicious, expensive, and unhealthy cycle of medication and then more medication to address the negative side effects. As a physician and a life coach, I work with clients to resolve their diseases, get off their medications, and live a naturally healthy life. If you don't like the healthcare system in America, I recommend you use less of it by being naturally healthy. So if you feel there has to be a better, more natural way to live a healthy life, you are in the right place. Hello, welcome to the Reversing Diabetes with Delaine MD podcast. This is episode number 129, and I have a special episode for you today. This is an interview with one of my clients named Fatima, and she tells her story about how she came to find me and how her time working in my group has been. So I hope you enjoy this. Fatima's story is a little different than most type 2 diabetics, and I really think it's important to see, because a lot of times we have beliefs, oh, my story is going to be different, my disease is going to be different, and she's not going to be able to help me, or it's got to be a certain way in order for me to get help. And what I want to offer is that is not the case. Almost across the board, that is not the case. I've yet to find that woman that is willing to put in the work and make these changes and can't get the results that she wants. And this client specifically is a great example of this. So I hope you enjoy this podcast, and I will talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
Hello, Fatima. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so glad to have you here.
Hello, Delaine. How are you?
I am fabulous. I am fabulous. So I wanted to have you on the podcast and have you share your experience, because it's kind of unique. And I really, you know, for folks, I think that they get told diabetes is this, you know, I eat too many carbs, it's a problem. And it's kind of this cookie cutter approach. And that's your experience, and your story is definitely not cookie cutter. And I think that's always great for people to hear, so they're not sitting there going, oh, I'm unique and I can't fix it. Nope, we can all fix it. And I love that you were able to do that, and I wanted you to share that with everybody. So how about you start with telling everybody your path to your health and wellness?
So my path. So for many years, I didn't really have a path. I felt like I was destined to be sick, and the doctors were the ones that chose my path. And I listened to them and I believed them. And so, you know, that was my path. And I expected that I wouldn't be normal again or have normal blood sugars. But this year in May, I started reading some books. And actually growing up, I hated reading books. But I realized that this time it was different, and I wanted to gain some knowledge about my health and myself. So I was gifted a book called Dr. Bernstein's Diabetes Solution, which is an amazing book because it was the beginning of my journey. And that's a book that my mom gifted to me. Now, little did I know that it would lead me to where I am today, but that was the beginning. And I read it once. I read some parts over. He embedded some things that I didn't really agree with, like the meal plan. I followed some things, I didn't follow other things, and I decided what was best for me based on the book. Then I started searching and listening to podcasts that I found on my phone, and then that's how I found Delaine MD. So I actually didn't start this path to health and wellness long before. Like, I started in May, and I found Delaine MD in July. And that's how I decided one day that I just wanted to get off of my medications, because I was like, you know what, I've heard so many things about people getting off medications. I was like, if they can do it, so can I.
So tell everybody, first off, how old were you when you were diagnosed? This is the fun part, right? How old were you when you were diagnosed?
So I don't even remember, but I think I was 14. I think I was 14 in 9th or 10th grade. I can't remember, but it was 9 years ago. So right now I'm 23.
Yeah. And what were you told about your diabetes?
So back then I was told that, that's it. Like, I'm going to be diabetic for the rest of my life. All I can do right now is maintain it with diet. So they first gave me some things that I should eat, salads and vegetables and fruits and stuff, cut out the sugars. But they said eventually the diet won't work and you'll have to be on medication. So I'm like, well, I might as well just get onto medication if that's going to happen. So after 3 months, my A1C didn't go down because obviously I didn't have the right tools and I started metformin.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you see a diabetes educator?
I did. Yeah. So I.
What did they tell you? I think it's funny. What did they tell you?
So the first thing that they said was, oh, you can eat everything in moderation, a little bit of rice, a little bit of bread, some veggies, some fruits. What I didn't understand about this was the fact that I was like 110 pounds at the time. And if I had a little bit of rice and a little bit of vegetables and meat, like I'm stuffed. Like I'm eating more than like I would have. I can only eat so little. So I just, that didn't make me feel better. So I stopped doing that. But I started more medication because I wanted to eat all the stuff.
Yeah. So what stuff were you, this is just out of interest, what stuff were you eating or that did you want to eat that wasn't, that the educators told you you shouldn't be eating?
Well, I just wanted to eat like a normal 14-year-old would eat, so like everything normal.
Yeah. At that time, what did you, that time was when your belief really was that, you know, I'm just going to be sick with this for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you tried the metformin. Any other meds that they put you on?
No, it was just metformin, but I would go on and off like the dosage. So I started with one a day and then I went to two and then I went to three and then back and forth.
Yeah. What was the highest A1C? Do you remember the highest A1C you had?
Oh, when I first got diagnosed at the age of 14, I was at a 12.
Yeah. Your A1C was almost as high as your age then, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it sounds like when you were diagnosed, your belief, and I think this is, I think that your story is so unique because of how young you were, but I think that the belief that the healthcare system, and now you're in Canada, so you're not even American healthcare system, but of course it's Western medicine. It's very similar, but the belief that the medical providers will feed you is that you're sick, you have this disease for the rest of your life, you're just going to need to manage it. Nobody's really offering you much more than that, right?
Yeah, nothing else. It was just a lot of like, okay, once a month, I would go to a dietitian and she would take my blood sugar and all that stuff. And it was pretty useless because, I mean, the info she gave me was eat rice and pasta.
Right, right. So, yeah, I know. Eat rice and pasta. Clearly, that's the problem. No fruit, but rice and pasta. Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when do you feel like you started to have an idea, a thought, a belief infused into you that maybe there was a different way? When do you think that hit?
Oh, that was many years ago. I definitely knew because my dad had told me that, oh, you know, like this person, he was a little bit overweight and like he lost weight and he stopped becoming diabetic. And like, there's a lot of people telling me about how there were people who got off of medication and stopped being diabetic. And those people that were always talked about were always people who were overweight. And, you know, when they lost the weight, they figured it out. And I was like, okay, but like,
I can't lose any more weight. Yeah.
10 pounds.
And you're growing still. Like, and at age 14, you know, you're still developing. You're not a full-fledged human at that point, right? Yeah, exactly. You can't lose weight. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I just continued doing what I was doing because everyone was like, yeah, when people that are diabetic, they lose weight, then it goes away. So
interesting. But your family had an idea. Your parents were like, yeah, I mean, people stop this, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And then you got that book.
Yeah, I got that
book. What changes did you see with your health as far as like what medications and how much you were on medications, what your A1C was, how you felt? What did you see when you started? You said you implemented some of them, but not all of them, right?
Yeah. So the book by Dr. Bernstein is actually a book about type 1 diabetic.
Exactly. Like he himself
is a type 1 diabetic. So certain things like just didn't make sense to me because they don't apply to me at all. Like I don't take insulin. I never have. And certain things, like he said, he's not eaten a fruit in like 40 years. Right. That I was like, I mean, if it gets me off of medication, let me just do it. So, and that's where I found out that he was eating like lots of protein. So I started eating lots of eggs and beef and all that stuff. And that caused other problems for me, like high cholesterol. So I was like, okay, there needs to be like a happy medium.
Happy medium between these two places. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't not eat fruits and then eat so many eggs. Like, it doesn't work.
But you had a belief at some point that there was a way to fix this and you just needed to figure out the formula.
Exactly. That's why I was looking. Like,
yeah.
If I didn't think that there was a solution, like I wouldn't even go out there. I just continue
the meds. Yeah. And that's what's so great. The people who are listening to this podcast are those people too, right? Like, they don't want to be on their meds. They think there's something else. So I want you to share, like, what were your thoughts? How were they transformed after the program? Your beliefs about what health was and what creates health for you. How did that transform for you?
So before I started the program, I thought I'd always be on medication. I believe that there was no cure and my death will be from diabetes, obviously.
I love that listeners can't hear the fact that you just rolled your eyes as you said that, but my heart loves that you rolled your eyes as you were like, and I'll die of diabetes, because I think that is a really frank piece of evidence about what you really believe about your health now. Right.
Exactly. Back then, I wouldn't have said it with my eyes rolling. I probably would have had tears in my eyes. And what I actually learned, a really important thing I learned, was that the program helped me understand that low blood sugars are really okay. Like, there's nothing wrong with having a low blood sugar.
Right. And describe what you mean by low, and recognize for people who are listening in the States, the Canadian monitors monitor differently. So we're going to try to do translation. Yeah. But I mean, because recognize, like, a blood sugar of 10 is like, so 10 in the American. So a blood sugar of 0.5 on the Canadian scale is not, we're not saying that that's fine. But explain what you mean by that.
So low blood sugar, meaning like the number is low, but you're not feeling low. Like the number is a 3 or a 3.9. But like for me, even when I got to that stage, if I wouldn't have measured, right, like I wouldn't have ever known that it was a low blood sugar. So
because you didn't feel funny with it.
Exactly.
So a four, right around a 4 is about a 70, a blood sugar of 70. Now, again, this is not the situation that we're talking about for people who are on medications or people who do feel symptomatic with a blood sugar of 70. If you feel symptomatic, you probably need to treat that. But after you normalized out your insulin and your nutritional hormones, like, you really weren't symptomatic at that range, were you?
Exactly. Yeah, there was no symptom. Like, I didn't feel it.
But what would the diabetes educator have had you done with that blood sugar?
Oh, I can give you like a recent example of my doctor when she saw that my fasting blood sugar was literally at a 3.2. And she was like, are you okay? Like, did you feel something? You were here. Did you faint? And I was like, no, I'm fine. And guess what? That's when I told her that, you know, that 3.2, I wasn't even on medication.
Yeah. So your beliefs beforehand, your beliefs when you were young and diagnosed were like, oh, I'm going to be sick forever. And then as you got older and got more information, you're like, oh, there's apparently a way I can figure this out. And now afterwards, what do you feel about your health?
So now I'm probably like 5 months into the program and I feel like my whole perspective on food and blood sugars is just different. I think food is a choice. I've never actually said this out loud, but I think food is a choice and there's no need to eat if you're not hungry. And what the thing was that before, the doctors would tell you, oh, you're diabetic, eat every 2 hours.
Yes.
And I just understood how food works and how the brain plays such a big role in like hunger and cravings. And sometimes we're not actually hungry. We're just messed up inside.
Yeah. Well, and when your nutritional hormones, your insulin and your ghrelin and your leptin are all out of whack. Yeah. You don't have this normal triggering of your hunger signaling. So it's like, yeah, you don't know. And then of course, to top it all off, and this is something that we work a lot on in the program, everybody in the group is that, you know, like, oh, am I eating because I'm sad? Am I eating because I'm frustrated? Am I eating because I'm overwhelmed? You know, for so long, I think all of us manage those sorts of emotions with food, right? Yeah. and learning to take a break and like, oh, what do I really need here? Nobody, like, that's not being taught in the diabetic education programs. So no, yeah.
They don't.
What do you think your top three feelings, like feeling words were about your health before you started working with me?
So I felt pretty stuck. Mm-hmm. Because all my life or forever, I was told that this is genetics. This is genetics. So I'm like, shit, like I got stuck with these genes.
Bad genes.
Like, I'm not even eating like so badly. Like I'm not putting on weight. Like I just don't understand this. And then there was some point in time where I was feeling jealous of others because mm-hmm. I would see other people eating things at 14, 15, 18. And I couldn't eat that stuff because I wasn't feeling good after it, and uneasy because of the whole situation where I was at the back of my head. I thought this is how like my life is going to end with death.
Was there fear? Do you think that you would have named fear?
Oh yeah, definitely. That comes in all of the feelings, like fear, like, you know, I had some of that.
Yeah. What do you think your main feelings, the top three feelings that you, about your health that you experience now after working with the program?
Well, I feel healthy, if that's valid.
Yeah. You feel good, right? Like your body feels physically well, right?
Yes. I feel happy and content with where I am and how far I've come in the program. And I feel like a winner because, like, I mean, I've gotten everything that I wanted. I would trade anything. Like I've made this comment before and I've told people that, like, I would trade $1 million for my health to come back because, like, there's nothing. You can have so much money in the world, but you can never have, like, money can't buy health.
Do you feel like you've got that? Do you feel in control enough? Like whatever presents to you in 10, 15, 20 years that you're going to be like, I've got tools. That's what I hope everybody comes out with, but you don't have to trade. If you want to trade $1 million for it, you can totally do that. But you know,
no. So I have the tools because I know we have like the modules and like I can rewatch them and I can always go back to it. And I have my food log that
we developed. We worked with together. Yeah.
There is info on that and there's proof.
There is tons of info. I know that's one of the nice things about having the log. I know initially it's kind of a pain in the tail to start to make it and then maintain it. But then once you have that data, you're like, oh, I just know that I need to do this thing and then we're good. Right. It's kind of nice. So how did you find my services? Curiously, you found it on the podcast. You said Googling the podcast.
Yeah, I did. So I actually was just listening to random podcasts and I just found you and I was like, oh, she looks like she's famous. I probably will never get to talk to her.
That's so funny. Yeah. Which of course was not the case, right? Like I do everything hands on. Yeah. Yeah.
And when you reached out to me, I was like, what? Like she's an actual person.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Did you feel like there was a time where you were wanting to implement changes, but you were just struggling to do it? Like you knew you didn't, you shouldn't eat the cake, or you knew maybe that the whatever the fries or whatever the nutritionist was telling you. And you were like, but they said it's okay. And I really want it anyway. Was there that going on before we started working together? Did you appreciate that was going on?
So if I'm going to be honest, I've never thought of change. I never, so there was nothing to implement because I never thought of anything different. So I had my mindset, I will live a shorter life and it's okay. And that's it. This is my life. So I have to accept it. And that's where I'm going to be. And that's where I'm going to go. And just continue my formula.
Yeah.
So I can't even answer that question.
I love it. And for me, like my jaw drops when I hear Fatima say this, because like, I know for type 1 diabetics, the interesting thing about Dr. Bernstein's book is that type 1 diabetics, the strategies that I teach in the program are the same strategies that they used to prolong lifespan for type 1 diabetics before we created, like insulin's always been in our body, but we didn't make it as a medication until like the 19 teens or 1920s is when it became a medication that we could inject. the changes that I implement with my clients are the changes that they used back then before the medication was available so that they could prolong the life of type 1 diabetics. People act like intermittent fasting and nutritional ketosis and cutting out carbs is like this new fad thing. And I know there is tons of medical literature that this has been going on for centuries, but nobody, like we wants the medication, of course, because all better living through chemistry, right? Like once the medications came available, like suddenly we didn't need to make these lifestyle changes. So for me, like type 1 diabetics benefited from these lifestyle changes. Type 2 diabetics can like totally reverse their diabetes. And I know that the science behind that is so solid. When I hear people saying like, I thought I was going to die an early death, I'm like, holy crow, I need to get a bigger megaphone and let the world know this is not the case. Because I cannot think of one client I've ever worked with or one patient I ever saw that had to die of type 2 diabetes. If caught early enough and implementing lifestyle changes early enough, you don't have to, that doesn't have to be your fate, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, I love that that's not it for you. That just makes me so happy. So I want you to explain what your experience was in the program. Like, what was it like when you first started working with me?
I didn't have any expectations because I didn't even know what I was getting myself into, because I was like, oh, like, you know, I found her and like, I don't know, like I'm unsure and like, what's going to happen? But I didn't have expectations. So because of all the experience I've had with previous doctors and dietitians, like, I mean, I'm on the pill because of them. So
Right. Whatever. The metformin because of them. Right. Yeah.
So the first few weeks when we started, I actually thought you forgot to send me a list of things to eat.
You thought that I was going to be like, you can eat kale, celery, carrots, and nothing more. Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah. I love that.
And I think a lot of people have that expectation because like that's what people who are on specific diets, you know, expect. Like, oh, she can eat this and she can't eat that. And so I never got that, but slowly I started understanding how the program works. Like, you guide us to eat what we want to eat. We decide what to eat, and you tell us the biology behind the food and like, you know, if we should really be eating that kind of food and if it's good for us.
Yeah. What results are we getting? What's our blood sugar doing with that
exactly
food?
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't ever. And I think it kind of makes some people frustrated. They're like, why won't you tell me what to eat? And I'm like, you don't want to eat what I eat. Like, you know, we joke around in the group about cottage cheese, right? Like, yeah, I reversed my diabetes eating green peppers and cottage cheese. But if you hate cottage cheese, that doesn't do you any good, right? Yeah,
exactly. So and I use peanut butter. So
yeah. And for somebody who doesn't like peanut butter, that's not going to do them any good, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So everybody should be. And what I loved was the fact that like I chose what I like to eat, and it changed multiple times, many times after certain blood tests and after getting tired of it. And I still got the results that I wanted, and I'm happy with what I'm eating. It's not, it's something that I can do forever. So
yes, I love it. That's exactly. And that's what I think you're right. Some people come in and they're like, oh, she's going to tell me to eat cucumbers and chicken breasts for the rest of my life, and that's all I'm going to be able to eat, or lettuce or kale or whatever. And of course, that's so funny. I'd never known that that's what you expected. Like that you were like, I kept expecting that I was going to get a list of things to eat. That's so funny. So what do you feel like the hardest change has been that you've had to make to keep, to maintain your blood sugars where you want them?
So I think in the beginning, the hardest change was like chocolate cake and the cookies. And for me, it was mostly the food. Like, some people have a hard time with like poking their fingers and all that stuff. I enjoy that. But I think removing the foods was the hardest because I was so used to just eating chocolate and sweets when I wanted. Not that I would eat it all the time, but like I wouldn't think. I wouldn't be aware of what I'm doing. I'd just be like, oh, I'm just going to have like an extra metformin because why not?
Yeah. So how about now? Like, do you find that there are still things that you feel like are hard?
I thought that the cravings actually subsided after like 2 months. I don't really, I think I've trained myself to not crave those things because I mean, I remember how chocolate tastes, but I don't give in to the craving all the time because it's not good for me. And I'm aware that, you know, my morning blood sugar might be a little higher and I don't really want that. It's not really worth it. So there's nothing really hard right now. I think I'm pretty good.
Yeah. Do you believe that you have, was that surprising to you, I guess? Did you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to have X, Y, or Z? But really you do allow yourself to indulge on occasion, right?
Oh yeah, I do all the time.
Yeah.
And it feels so much better now than it did before because like, I remember a time where like, when I'd go out to eat a burger, I'd like regret it. I'd be like, no, I can't have bread. Like, okay, if I'm going to have bread, I'm not going to have fries. I'm not going to have ketchup.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have this. So now the first time that I had a burger after a really long time, I like enjoyed every single bite and I did not feel bad at all because I'm like my blood sugar is going to be fine. So why should I feel bad?
Right. So, and of course the lack of cravings, part of that is training your brain. Like not complying with every offer that our brain gives us. And that is neurochemistry. And we talk about that all the time. But the other part of it that's also chemistry and biology is that your nutritional hormones have normalized out. So you're not getting false readings in your brain. Like you're not picking up false messages in your hypothalamus telling you that you're hungry all the time, right?
Exactly.
That makes it easier, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I'm actually eating like so much less now and I'm okay with just water.
Yeah. What do you like? Yeah. I mean, and this is something that you worked on was this feeling of being in control and in the power seat for the food, like not having the food control you. I remember us working on that quite a bit, right?
Oh yeah. I was eating till I was like filled.
What did your sugars do?
So that's actually what I've been most surprised about in the program is that my A1C is actually sitting at a 5.1.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
Strong work.
And I think it's going to go down, but let's see. My blood sugars obviously have been really good after meals, like below a 6.5. Most days like 5.1, 5.2.
Yeah. And so that on the American scale is right around 100. 6.5 is 115, 116. So yeah, all normal for after eating, totally within normal range, right? Yeah. Yeah. But, and it's interesting because you actually lost weight and normalized your sugars, even when you were like stuffing yourself, when you were eating to too full, right?
Oh yeah. Like I checked my blood sugar like after I ate so much food, but it was like quote unquote healthy food. And I checked my blood sugar and it'd be like 5.5. So I was like, okay, that's nice.
Yeah. So it's just so interesting. I think, and I don't know that you necessarily carried this belief, but I know a lot of people do. And I think that your path in the program has definitely like disproved this. But the belief that I'm going to have to only eat 3 celery sticks and 1 chicken breast, it's going to be this really restrained eating pattern before I have to do that before I'll see better numbers. And that was, it's not most of my clients' results and it certainly wasn't yours, right?
It's definitely not true. Like you just, even if you eat when you're not hungry, maybe you might gain weight, but your blood sugars, you know, sometimes would go up, but not all the time. Like,
but they aren't jumping up to 200 on the, you know, or 10 on your scale, right? Yeah.
Never.
Yeah. I love it. So what has changed for you? What has changed in you? What's changed in your life the most after this work?
So the way I eat, obviously. And the way I take care of myself, most importantly, the way I think about food. So food is not an emergency. And I skip meals all the time. And I feel happy doing it because I don't physically feel anything when I skip a meal. Before, I used to feel like the keto flu all the time because I would do it like once in a while. But now, you know, when you do something often, your body kind of gets used to it and it's fun.
Yeah. Well, what do you find? I always think it's so interesting is like, what else can I do in that time that I'm not having to go out and procure food? I'm not having to cook. I'm not having to clean up dishes. I'm not having to go and find lunch. You know, I can remember when I worked in the clinic that I worked at, like, I didn't have, oh, I can just go run and get some Christmas presents. Cool. Awesome. You know what I mean? I can remember like, oh, this is an hour I can do like things with. This is awesome. Right. So yeah, it's interesting. It can be fun because suddenly you're doing other things and trying to find some scroungy food to shove in our face, right? It's awesome. What do you feel like you're happiest with? What results are you happiest with?
Definitely my cholesterol and my blood sugar, because mm-hmm. When we first started, you know, I was focusing on my blood sugar, and then we came up with this issue of my cholesterol because
that wasn't really new with us, right? But suddenly it's like, oh, I'm doing all of this. I know I have this high cholesterol. The doctor's saying I shouldn't be doing this, but I have to do this part to keep my blood sugars normal. So then we had this like puzzle to solve, right?
Exactly. And it was fun. And I'm, you know, I'm continuing. And I was also really happy with the habits that I've developed. Like, you know, nice. I don't even pack lunch, and I'm not scared about that. I don't have like food anxiety anymore.
Isn't that lovely?
I love it. I love it. Awesome. I also am happy that I tried many things. So like I tried the intermittent fasting, and then like, I was like, let me try the ketosis, because the intermittent fasting made me feel like I was eating way too much when I was having a meal at the end of the day. So I tried that. And then I tried just having like a healthy meal and tried many different foods and seeing what works for me. And I finally figured out what works and what doesn't work. So it's nice to know that.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. Yeah. And that's kind of the whole point of the program, right? You've heard me say this a million times. We're collecting data. We're collecting data about the food that you eat in comparison to the blood sugars that you get. We're collecting data. And then learning how to evaluate that data, because what's you're going to need now and in 10 years and 10 years, you know, it's going to be different. So you need to know how to do that. And so, of course, I love to hear it when clients are like, yeah, I just like know that this is what happens now.
And the best part is that like, I can literally have a full on carb meal now without feeling guilty and without having my blood sugars go up to crazy
numbers. 11. Did you ever feel like that would be possible?
No. Because I actually remember I did the test.
I know. Yeah.
So I had like a bar, a whole Kit Kat and like a whole croissant, and my blood sugar was like skyrocketed. And then I did the same test again.
Day one. So early. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that is really important for people to hear. Again, like people are so hesitant to start the process of reversing their diabetes because I'm going to only have to eat this very restrained food, and I'm not going to be able to be the deciding factor of what I eat. And I'm never going to be able to have my very favoritist blah, whatever that food is, ever again. Mm-hmm. And of course, that isn't how we do it, right? Like, I'm sure like you can go somewhere if that's what you want to do. I'm sure there is a program out there that will give you a very strict eating plan, and they will tell you that you can never, ever have your very favorite piece of chocolate cake or whatever again. But that's certainly not how we do it, right? Like there's more than one way to skin a cat, I guess, right?
Yeah, because I think when people give you a meal plan, like it's not something that you want to do. So it's not going to be long-term. If you want to be happy with it, it needs to come from within you.
Yeah. Like you need to have like, and also like, you know, we talk, I know that we talk about this advocating for what you need, right? Like that's part of the work, big part of the work that we do, not just advocating for what we need in our food and our nutrition, but advocating for what we need in social situations, in relationships with our family, right? Like going out with your friends and they're like, ooh, let's go have burgers and fries. Why aren't you eating? You should eat. Well, why not? You know what I mean? Like an advocating being like, yeah, I could eat that if I wanted to, but I don't want everything that comes with that for me right now, or it's just not worth it to me right now. I'm not doing that. And that's advocacy, right? Like that's what you need, right? Yeah. And learning like that whole, what should I be eating? What's my food plan going to be? It's part of the same thing. You don't need me telling you eating cottage cheese and peppers all day long. Like nobody wants to hear that, right? Like that's my crazy thing. Nobody wants to hear about that. So what would you tell anybody who wasn't sure about whether it was possible for them, about whether they could be healthy? What would you tell them?
I'd say from all my experience that anything is possible if you put your mind to it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the best investment that I made this year, because I do a lot of investing in stocks and all these things, but nothing ever for my health. And, you know, you can live such a happy life if your health is in the place that you want it to be, because it can give you that confidence that you're looking for. And it might just be because of your health that you don't have that confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always say time is the most expensive thing. Like time is and why I mean it's the most expensive is that because you can't, like, once today is gone, there is no amount of money you can pay to get it back. Right. And it's kind of the same thing with your health. Like if you cut decades off of your life and you end up dying early because you didn't gain that confidence and control over your health, there is no amount of money that buys that back for you. Right.
Exactly.
I think it's a great investment. I mean, it's what I've given my career to, my professional life to, is to help people be healthy. But that is really, I really do feel like this is not self-serving. Time is the true commodity that we cannot replace, and protecting that and investing so that we can create as much of that time as we need to is really important. So I love that you mentioned that investment component of it, because it truly is. So Lastly, before we sign off, is there anything else you want to share? Anything else you want to talk about? Anything you want people to know? You want to tell them how I have like a scary club that I peep people with whenever they eat foods? I think people think that, but of course it's not true. But
no, I think the main point that I would bring up is the fact that the weekly group meetings, I really, really enjoyed those, because I just felt like I belonged to something, and I look forward to it. Even if I have nothing to say, it's nice to know that there are other people out there who are on the same journey and working towards their health. And just, I've never been part of a group where people have the same mindset about diabetes and wanting to get like a natural solution. So it's really nice, and everybody should definitely join.
Yes, we have a good time. We do. Yeah. The work is really, it's life changing. You know what I mean? Like, and that's
definitely,
it is what it is. And everybody's journey is a little different, but you're all kind of, you know, like we're all there together and supportive. I know we really do have a great group of ladies.
Yeah, we do.
Awesome. All right, Fatima. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being on the podcast and sharing your journey. Again, it's a little unique, and not unique in like, oh, it was, you know, teal instead of blue. I mean, yours is unique in that you started so very young and at an age where you weren't really truly in control of everything that you would eat, but still having somewhere deep down being like, I don't think this is like, this isn't right. What they're telling me isn't right. And that critical thinking. And so I really wanted just the listeners to hear this side, like this is how it can be, and these are the changes you can make. And even when it seems like it's really, really set in stone, like, no, like it's changed. You can fix this, right?
Yeah.
I love it. All right, Fatima, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. Also leave me a review. If you want to resolve your diabetes naturally without any pills or injections, I can help you. Visit DelaineMD.com for more information. Click on the Work With Me tab, send me a message, and we can set up a mini coaching session. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.